Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, and I'm back. Things are going wild and crazy. It was a wild and crazy week, a wild, crazy weekend. I was performed at Ventura Harbor Comedy Club last weekend. Got to hang out with my good friends, David Studebaker and Darren Carter. The party starter. You know him. Yeah, he's awesome. We had a great time. Saturday I hosted and opened and did 10 and blew the roof off that place. It was amazing. And for those of you who don't know, the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club is going to be moving. They said closing on Friday, and I was like, that's not true. You're not closing yet. I mean, technically, that place is closing, but they're moving to another venue just downstairs, and it may be rebranded at some point, but it's going to be the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club for a while, and it's going to be in this giant restaurant. We got to go, Darren, see, the thing is, Darren has clout, so we got to go do a tour of the new club and look at the state. It was beautiful, so excited for that. One thing I would love to do would be like the MC or the host for all their shows Monday through Saturday or something like that. That'd be awesome. So that, if they're listening, and I will be having the owner of the club, Andres Fernandez, on the podcast at some point, and maybe I'll pitch that to him. We'll see. So I would love to do that. I don't know if he'd be open for that, but it would be a great honor to do that, because I love the club and I love the people there, and it's just a great place. So today we have another amazing person who's also doing a lot of work, probably more work than he should be doing. The very funny, the very talented, I'm going to guess overworked Mark Masters. Mark, how's it going?
The perennially tired Mark Masters.
There it is. That's what I figured. I figured you have to be a little like go, 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 because you only have like, what, two or three weeks, right?
38 days. 38 days and counting. We're under 40. Things are going awesome. We talked not that long ago when I had no idea what was going on. Now this thing is really taking some shape. I'm really excited about the Vail Comedy Festival and all kinds of other things that are going on. I'm about to hit the road, go on tour. That's why I got a nice fancy haircut for this podcast. You listeners, you can't see it, but it's high and tight. I just got it today. I'm at Comedy Works tonight, doing 3 minutes there, and then New Mexico tomorrow night, Arizona the next night, going to San Francisco, going to hit some mics. If you're listening to this and you're in San Francisco, markmasters.co, like Colorado, couldn't afford the .com. There's a contact form there. Hit me up. If you know any mics in San Francisco, then I'm flying to Vegas, got a date in Vegas, and then drive back to Colorado. But yeah, let's talk about the festival, huh? What kind of questions do you have? I got answers.
I guess the biggest one is this a bigger undertaking than you thought it was going to be? Did you underestimate what was coming?
I would say so far, not yet. I think the weekend I will probably have a freak out, because I'm very organized, very detail oriented. I just did another sold out Vail Comedy Show last weekend, and Eddie Ift, who's a hilarious headliner, he was great. Him and Joe Prano, we sold it out. And he was saying that I am very organized, is to put it politely. And he's kind of loosey goosey, whatever, but a total pro at the same time.
Yeah.
But they appreciated how much effort I put into marketing and getting, you know, studying demographics and all this, the boring work, the stuff nobody wants to hear about, to make an awesome comedy environment. I mean, we had people falling out of the place. It was so packed. And hopefully the festival is similar. But yeah, so many things are going on. So last time we talked, we were trying to get the comedy community to hear about the festival, and that worked. We got hundreds of applications from comedians all over the country. It was really amazing. We had a great committee of comedy club employees, national bookers, comedy fans, basically anybody that wasn't me. So I've reached out to probably 11 or 12 different festival organizers at this point and talked with them anywhere from 15 minutes to 2 hours. Just real basic stuff like, what's the biggest mistake you made in your first year, or what's the best thing you did last year? And one of the kind of themes was for comics who run a festival. What I kept hearing was, don't be involved in the selection process. So I removed myself from that. I was the one who had to send out the rejection letter to hundreds of people. And that was kind of a bittersweet day. I also got to send the acceptance letter to 30 comedians. And that was a lot of fun. So we have 30 comics from Alabama to Washington flying into Vail for 3 days, crazy fun. And the word's definitely out there. I'll say one thing on the rejection letters that was kind of cool and interesting. I tried to give things to the people who paid their hard-earned money to apply and didn't get in. You know, their videos were viewed multiple times and were reviewed and scored. And, you know, that stuff, it's not fair. You know, maybe right. at the margins, at the very top, it's fair. At the very bottom, it's fair. But in the middle, there's a gray area where it's a little bit of luck. Did somebody like you more or less than somebody else right around you? You know, you just it's a numbers game when you're on the bubble. So I offered them, you know, a free spot on Comedy Test Kitchen, no matter how good or bad they were, which is my weekly online show, a pass to the festival. If they want to come out and volunteer and help out somehow, passes are like $200 to $1,000. So we want comedians to come in and learn from all these amazing comics. And then the most worthless thing I offered was, I will review your tape with you, on a 10-minute Zoom call. Basically,
that's not worthless.
We'll watch your 5-minute. Well, I told them it was worth what they're paying for it. To some people, maybe it had some value, and I definitely got better at it. I said I will help out maybe like 10 to 12 people, just first come, first serve. And 25 people, actually more like 30 people requested reviews, but 25 actually did I meet with, and they were. It was really interesting, James. It was like I got to watch 25 of these 5-minute submission tapes, and I'll be honest with you, some of them were terrible. They were straight up like, you know, they were like in their driving, you know, in their car, no audience, not a club. Other ones were like so good. I was like, I kind of don't know how you didn't get into the festival. This is a real bummer. I hope you apply next year. Come on out. If you come to the festival, there are open mics every single day. We'll get you some good stage time there. And but there were some kind of themes you saw, like every person on the committee watched at least 50 videos. So you can really when you put yourself in their headspace, you can see how important it is to be funny fast and to be memorable. Not only funny, but you got to be memorable. If you're with a 12th video they saw, you want them, you know, 30 videos later to come back and be like, you know what, this I remember this kid. Or this lady, or this whatever, this iguana, you know, let's bump that score up a little bit. It was fun. So I got to talk to 25 comics from around the country and give them some advice. And some of them were bitter. You know, they were definitely like, why didn't I get in? You know, that kind of attitude. But most of them were like, you know, let's just chat like we're comics. And, you know, I suggested tags and gave some ideas. And I think you're overselling the value of a Mark Masters video review. It was okay. You know, for 10 minutes, you probably got something good out of it. And I had a couple people follow up later, like, hey, really appreciated your advice. Here's my latest tape. Hopefully it fixed A, B, and C, which.
I love that. Some people will send me stuff too, and I'll watch it. I'll say, hey, you know, it's a good tag right here. And you started, it sounded like you started down this road and you stopped yourself, but this would have been great if you would have done X, Y, Z. And then they'll try to be like, that worked. That was so much better. It made this, you know, or, hey, you could drop that first line of, you know, blah, 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 and just go straight into the joke and you're going to get the laughs faster, you know, which is funny because I don't take my advice on one joke that I have. That is like a long intro joke. And I know it's a long intro joke. And David Studebaker this weekend in the green room with me was like, hey, I love that joke. Everyone loves that joke. You're not getting to it fast enough. Let's punch that up. So we sat in the green room, punched up two different jokes that day. So it was awesome. And I was like, yeah, okay. That's and it was cool. Also a joke that the World Series of Comedy set all had a problem with, saying you're not getting to it fast enough. But it's a funny joke. You're not getting to the last fast enough. And I was like, all right. So David and I talked about that. And he was like, yeah, you need to fix this. So we did it. But those things are helpful. And then I also have done consulting for comedians and stuff. And sometimes they don't like what you say. They don't like it where you're like, hey, that joke, everyone does that joke. It's not, you're not, yeah. It's not unique. You need to be unique. Yeah. Be yourself. Talk to me about you. And then yep. when they start telling you things about themselves, and I'm writing stuff down and I'm going, say that, say that, say yeah. that, say that. You know, they're like, well, I don't want to talk about myself. Then you're never going to be, you're not going to break through, because if you sound like everyone else and you talk like everyone else, you're everyone else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very hard to differentiate. I would say like top three bits of advice, have a professional tape. And it's so hard. Like I know I have friends who are way ahead of me, like 8-12 years in. And they still don't have an awesome 5-minute tape they're super proud of, because the one time they had a really good opportunity with like a marquee comedy club behind them and a high quality recording, somebody like spilled a beer 3 minutes in and it derailed their set. And there it is. That was their one opportunity in like a whole year to record that perfect 5-minute set. So make sure it's high quality. The sound is good, like the camera isn't jittering.
No, like,
and make it like first impressions count. When the person reviewing your tape looks at it in the first second, they can tell if you're in your car or if you're on a booked show at a good quality, you know, place with a paying audience. And that's a big spectrum. And you're not going to get that in your first 6 months of comedy, and that's fine. Like don't stress out about that. Just it's a long road. And so that's one, have a high quality tape. Number two, be original. You know, whether you know it or not. And I certainly suffer from this. Sometimes, you know, my jokes sound like everybody else's jokes. It's exactly what you just said. You know, you got to be creative and different. And then third, be memorable. So like the first reaction matters, and the last reaction, like, am I excited about what I just saw? And just remember that the people reviewing these tapes see so many tapes, just so many. You gotta stand out somehow.
Yeah, I agree 100%. What has been the hardest, besides the rejection letters and all that stuff, what's been the hardest part of setting all this up? What's the big hurdle that has like maybe stopped you a few times or made you retry to be like, oh, am I... is this really worth it? Or like, what's the big thing that's, cause there's always one thing that makes you feel.
Yeah. Happy. I think the hardest thing has been venues. So the idea is the festival will be like a walking thing, and Vail sells itself. It's one of the best places on earth to visit. It's a destination ski resort in the summer. It's a gorgeous place to vacation. It's just an awesome place to be. The Vail Village it's very small. It looks European. It's cool. It's great. And so we have one kind of center venue, that's the Bridge Street Bar in the Vail Village. It's steps from Gondola One, the main gondola in Vail, Colorado. And we couldn't be happier with it. It's a basement. It's got low ceilings. It's got everything Mark Masters loves about a comedy room, including definite fire hazard when it's super packed. That's what makes a good comedy environment. But there are a lot of other awesome places. Like we're talking to a cowboy hat store, which is like super unique, and a snow sports museum with like snowboards all over the wall, and upscale retail store, which you wouldn't expect. Lululemon is another one that we're talking to about possibly having a show inside a Lululemon, a sushi store, a boot fitting store. The problem is, as you know, all across America, this isn't a comedy thing, staffing is just a huge problem. And nobody wants to talk to me 3 months ahead of time about locking down and making assurances about stuff when they're just trying to survive the next hour. Like, yeah. Mindy didn't show up for her shift again, and we don't know if Bill's coming in today because his kid's been sick, and we got 100 people during the lunch rush. Like, we can't talk to you, dude. And I'm totally sympathetic to that. I come from a service industry background, and I've been very relaxed. The mountain closes May 1st. After May 1st, I mean, this gives me a panic attack. We don't have our venues on lockdown yet, and we're 38 days away. But I have some faith that things are going to work out eventually.
That's awesome. I expect a Mark Masters book about running a comedy festival after this. I expect like the same style book that you wrote about your first year of comedy being the first year of a festival, things that you learned, things that were great, things.
Yeah. I think it will be a chapter in the next book. There'll definitely be a sequel, I think, to Not Good Yet. If I don't quit comedy before, before the book comes out. I think there'll probably be 3 books by the time before I quit comedy, but we'll see. It'll be a nice long arc, and maybe, who knows, maybe I'll make it, maybe I won't, but the festival has been really cool. The venues have been super challenging. We had a theater that was excited to work with us, and then they scheduled some construction that overlapped with our event, so maybe next year. That's what we hear a lot. Maybe not this year, but next year for sure, we'll definitely help out. So
yeah, everybody's struggling. I'm feeling it on all sides. Same thing. What's funny is you mentioned books. You ever heard the book like All I Ever Learned and Needed to Learn in Life, I Learned in Kindergarten or something like that? I think that's what it's called.
No, but that sounds pretty good.
It's a good book. It's like All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. So I was thinking of like making a book like All I Ever Needed to Learn About Comedy, I Learned at Open Mics, you know, and then it's just like,
oh, nice.
Silly advice from open mics and just stuff like that. So that, I mean, that's what your book, I mean, yes, it was stories about you doing it, but it was a lot of like lessons learned from these situations and stuff. And I feel like you're taking on a big thing that most comedians would go, I don't want any part of that. Like, producing a show is tough enough. Producing a entire, you know, thing is just no, thank you.
Yeah, my philosophy is you always have to be failing in some way or you're not getting better. I mean, that's the open mic thing. In the beginning, you're so scared to get on stage, and you know you're not gonna crush. You know, no, even industry professionals bomb at open mics. Nobody's paying attention. You know, it's like the hardest thing to do, but it makes you better. It's those reps that make you better. And the comedy show, you know, it's still an enormous amount of work, and I'm very proud of what we've done with Vail Comedy Show. ValeComedyShow.com, by the way. Check out future dates, plan a vacation to Vail. Help us keep this 8-month sellout streak alive. But, you know, I figured out how to do it. Even though it's a lot of work, I know how to do it. It's kind of old hat at this point. And it's just repeating the same things month after month. And I try and improve things like every month. Like I record the shows now in 4K with multiple microphones. And I added like a slideshow to a bunch of TVs so we can advertise the next show and get people excited about the performers on the current show. But I kind of like ran out of things to make it harder, to increase the difficulty level. And so the festival was a natural progression. You know, how do I do 15 shows over 3 days and not want to kill myself?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's gutsy, man. Right, and then you're going to be recording the festival and recording all those things? And
yeah, we'll see. Like we have a lot of it. So one thing that we haven't talked about yet is our whole social media stuff, which I famously, there's a whole chapter in my book, how I'm not on Facebook and I'm not on Instagram, and I'm still not on Facebook or Instagram. The festival does have a presence. I finally let in or gave up. And decided that we did need to have an Instagram account. And I don't operate it or manage it really. We have a social media team that I meet with once a week, and I give them a bunch of content. But one really cool thing we did recently was we have about 30 comedians, and for 30 straight days, we posted a new Instagram video with a stand-up clip somewhere between like 10 and 40 seconds long with the comedian. And there's like Vail Comedy Show branding at the beginning, and then it has the comedian's name. It like types out over the video, and then it where they're from, and then the jokes, and people laugh. And then at the end, it says ValeComedyFestival.com, and there's some branding at the end, some like flashing alpacas. And the videos look super cool, and there was some great engagement on them. And now we're actually recycling them. We just started a YouTube channel. So Google for the Vail Comedy Festival YouTube channel and please give us a subscribe. We're trying to get to 200 by the time of the festival. And right now we're at 6. So we just started this about six days ago. We're averaging about one person a day. But yesterday, yesterday our video got almost 500 views, which it's amazing. I have no idea why or why the algorithm. The day before, our video got like one view. They're scheduled to go out every morning, 8 a.m. Mountain. They're all in the right format to be YouTube shorts. So it's like a TikTok style Instagram. You just fling through these quick videos. And so there's a new video every morning at 8 a.m. And that will continue for like 20 days. That's another thing. Like last night I was loading new videos. I did like 15 of them up until like the end of the month. And then YouTube was like, you've reached your limit of uploaded videos for the day. And I was like, okay. And then this morning I tried again and I realized it was a 24-hour thing. So I can't load any more until tonight. So we're cracking the algorithm. We're trying to break it, but we're getting pushback.
No, it's a good thing. I mean, that's the thing is I always wanted to do something like that where I was like, I'm going to give myself this thing and I'm going to do these for the.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I am just so overwhelmed with stuff that I am like, although you know, the thing I keep getting asked to do, and I don't know if I'm going to do this. I've had about the fifth person in the last couple of days ask me to, if I wanted to start being a comedy manager and managing comedians. And I'm like, I don't know if that's an insult.
What do you even do? Like, what does a manager do?
They get you spots, get your podcast.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
I mean, I'm good with all those things. It's just,
but it's more fun to do them for yourself and your own shows. You know, like I'd rather just start like if I was going to manage three comics and get them spots, I'd rather have three shows, you know, with each one having five spots a night or whatever. Yeah. So that's 15 spots a month. I have to book that sounds more fun. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's money in it. I've had to deal with some managers and agents recently because some of our bigger headliners have them, but to me, it doesn't seem there's some great people in that business. It just, it doesn't really sound fun to me.
That's the thing is I'm like, how do I, my first question was, how do I monetize that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how am I getting money off?
Yeah, exactly. If a comic's getting two beer tickets to do a 10-minute spot, what do I get? A third of a beer? I have to come up with a shot glass and show up at the show?
Yeah, no, I don't need all that. Yeah. But I've been having a lot of people ask about, you know, monetizing podcasts and getting podcasts started and helping a business with their, like, I do a lot of that kind of stuff. And, you know,
that's helpful. I helped some senior comics and I don't mean that in an age way.
No,
they've been in the business forever. They are maybe older adults as well and struggle with technology. But I helped some comics with a podcast a few years ago just because I had done it for myself. I knew how to do it. Like, why not? It's going to take me a few hours. It'll take them like 25 hours and they'll probably make a bunch of mistakes. And who knows, 2-3 years from now, maybe they'll give me a favor because of the favor I did for them. And that's really, you know, you were talking about everything I learned was at open mics. I think the biggest lesson that I could share with people about open mics has nothing to do with being on stage. It's just be nice to everybody. Like, you never know who's going to be what, and reputation matters so much. And going back to my venue problem, I've been running the Vail Comedy Show for 3 years. We've been in the local newspaper 15 plus times. Like, I have a reputation in town as doing a good job and being a reliable person. And that matters a lot. Like, people who probably wouldn't talk to me at all will at least talk to me a little bit because of reputation, and because I try to be nice to everybody, because you never know, you know, who owns the Mexican restaurant that just opened, you know, and that I'm going to need their stage time.
Yep, that's exactly right. And what has been the most fun part about this? Because there's always fun in any kind of thing you're put together. What's the most fun part for you so far?
I think one of the coolest things was we redid our website, and we announced all, like, after we did all those Instagram videos, we were ready to go public with all the comedians. And now there's this like huge wall of avatar badges of comedians, and you can see like where they're from and their name. And that's like, I think it's really cool and exciting at vailcomedyfestival.com. If you want to play along at home, and you can scroll through, and
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. You can see all the names. And so that's really like, that makes it feel real. And I'm so grateful to all these comedians who are, you know, we're paying for their lodging. We're trying to make it as easy as possible. It's the festival game is, I go to festivals myself. They're expensive. Like, they cost money. They take dollars out of your pocket. You know, there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of ways to take advantage of being at a festival, but on the other side, they're very expensive. And so we're trying to, you know, make that as easy as possible on people. But we understand it's not easy to get to Vail from Washington or Alabama or New York City. You know,
yeah,
it's a long.
You have a lot from New York.
Yeah. We're very popular in New York City. In fact, we got the most festival submission. We got more festival submissions from Brooklyn, New York than Denver, Colorado, which I hope will fix itself next year, because everybody will hear how much fun it is. And we'll get a lot of people from Colorado applying.
That's so cool, man. Like, it's just such a cool thing. Like, you did it. You did something that all of us think about doing, like, oh, it'd be great. Cause especially if you go to festivals and then you're like, man, that sucked. This could have been better. I don't like that they did this thing, blah, blah, blah. You come up with a lot of stuff that you're like, if I did it, I would do it X, Y, Z. And then you just kind of brush it off, right? You go, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
But you took those same examples, the same lessons, and said, no, I'm going to do X,
I'm more
Y,
glass half full, though. I went to festivals and was like, I love this about the festival. This other festival, I love this and this. So I want all these things at my festival. Like, I'm working really hard. If you're listening to this and you own a pizza shop in Vail, Colorado, we are still trying to lock down our official pizza sponsor. And we want to have like a big pizza meal every day. So like, if you're on a budget and you just want to slam a couple pieces of pizza and make it through on beer and snacks the rest of the day, you can. And have a sense of community around that meal. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a fun time.
How many pizza shops are in Vail? How many are there?
At least three that I can think of.
At least three.
Yeah.
Well, then those three, someone needs to step up and become the official.
I know.
Have you
We're talking to two out of the three right now. The third gave me the look, dude, I'm just trying to survive the lunch rush right now. And yeah. I said, totally understand. I'll be back after May 1st when things are quieter. Once the ski mountain closes, I'll come back. And I get it, you know, like, whatever. They have a business. Their first priority is not my problem. You know, their first priority is their business. And it's been a rough couple of years for all businesses.
Yeah. This is actually good. I hope that it's one of those things that will bring, you know, when they think like, okay, the season's over, this will bring another wave for like a week or so. And then they'll go, oh, that was helpful right after the rush. We had this little, another nice little wave. And then now we're back to, you know, steady as it goes type thing.
Yeah. I don't know if the first year will be like a huge, importer of business to the town of Vail. I'd like to think that, but I think my plans are like 3, 5, 10 years, 3 years, 3 through 5. I mean, I would not be shocked if people like planned, you know, to fly into Colorado and have a vacation and spend a few days in Vail at the comedy festival, because last year on Instagram, they saw all these amazing comedians. One of the really cool things, I haven't figured out how to market this yet, but there are going to be a lot of small shows, you know, like the retail store that I mentioned before. It's like, it's, you know, maybe we'll get like 40 people in there and a comic on the stage, and we'll have some lighting and good sound and just do a pop-up show. And you're going to be like right next to comics that are on Comedy Central or will be on Comedy Central in a year or two. And I think that's going to be really exciting. When you, like the other day, we had the Vail Comedy Show. We had a bachelor party at the show. Very well behaved. Good luck to Tyler, the groom. They drank their faces off, but they were very well behaved. They were really good comedy show attendees, and I loved them. And we went out drinking afterwards, all the comics. And at the second bar, there was the bachelor party, you know, and so they got to hang out with the comics all over again, the people that they got to see on stage. And so it's a fun, unique experience. And hopefully the photos and videos tell that story so that people will come in droves in the future years.
You know how like Sundance and Slam Dance and those other things, you get like film commissions. Is there any kind of arts commission or anything that will help you with this like that?
Well, I will say this. We do accept nonprofit gifts. I also have a joke about my own comedy career that I'm one of the best non-profitable businesses my accountant has ever seen. I'm very good at being non-profitable. But the festival had, this is one thing that I learned from one of those chats with a festival organizer. They said, even if you're a for-profit entity, there's a wrapper, there's a complicated thing, you got to apply for it, you have to be like arts, cultural related. And I'm very good at paperwork. I'm like in old school when there was that like fraternity trying to spin up, and they were like, they're very good at paperwork. I'm good at paperwork. Eddie Ift is right. I'm detail oriented. And so I applied and got approval. So people can send, you know, $10 or $1,000 and get an official letter and write off that gift to the festival.
Nice.
Which is great. Yeah, really exciting. By the way, I've never heard of Slam Dance. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's like another... No, it's another comedy festival like Sundance. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Okay. It sounds like a WWE event.
It does. It sounds awesome, actually. Slam Dance is held also in Park City. And it's okay. So Sundance is there, and then Slam Dance is, I think.
It's not like Poetry Slam? Like,
I don't know. It's a film
festival.
We're
going to snap. It's a film festival. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Sundance is in like August and Slam Dance is in like February, something like that. It's like
fun.
So yeah, I pay attention to film festivals. That's one thing I eventually want to do.
Oh, I'll tell you another fun thing that happened. You asked me what's one of the coolest things that happened or most fun things. So we have volunteers, and you know, and we're still accepting help. If you want to help with social media, if you want to write blog posts, if you want to come out and check people's tickets, like in person or remote, we have all kinds of volunteer stuff. Some guy reached out to me and said, hey, I'd like to help. And I set up a video chat so I could cross train him on these things that we needed done. And within the first few minutes, he just drops that he's a former NFL player. He played for 8 years in the NFL, this guy. And I had no idea. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
I was very impressed.
He's doing work in the door and throwing out people is what you're saying.
Well, if he comes to the festival, which he says he plans to. So he should be at the festival, and we might even put him on like a panel, like a, you know, celebrity. He's been in People magazine and stuff like that. So awesome. That's kind of cool. That the Sundance idea, you mentioning Sundance made me remember that, because, you know, we'd like to have famous people wandering around, and, you know, that doesn't hurt to have a former NFL player.
Not at all. Not at all. So what else can people, what can people do to get ready for this? What other things are open to them? I know you can't submit anymore. But they can buy tickets. They can buy like,
if you're a comic listening to this and you want to come to the festival, we will have open mics Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 27th, 28th, and 29th of 2022. So you can get on stage. It will probably be in a coffee shop, but I don't know if you've been to a festival open mic. They're actually awesome. Because, you know, especially in a place like Vail, like if it was in a big metropolis, like a city, you get all kinds of riffraff. But up in Vail, there aren't any local comics. So you're going to get people who are there for the festival, you know? So these are comics who probably got, like, I did Snow Jam Comedy Festival in January, in South Dakota, and I did an open mic, and it was the best open mic I've ever been to. It was 25 killers in a row because all 25 people had been accepted into the festival. And it was just great. And everybody wanted. And the other part of that is I hadn't seen the other 24 people perform. There was one guy from Denver who I'd seen before, but mostly I was paying attention to the whole thing. You know how you go to an open mic and like the same person gets up on stage. You've seen them do this Frontier Airlines joke six times before. Like it's not going to change. And you kind of like tune out and focus on your own material. When the comics are good and you've never heard them before, that's like the best combination. So I'm pretty excited about the open mics. So reach out, send a note, find a way to on veilcomedyfestival.com or something like that. Veil Comedy Show has an email address on the website that a bunch of people have been sending messages to. We'll give you a heavy discount on a pass or maybe even a free pass, especially if you're willing to volunteer and help out at the festival a little bit. So that's a way to get involved. And we will, if you're hearing this in like September, let's say, of 2022, we do plan to open submissions in November of 2022 for 2023. So submissions will be open in 5 months. So nice. Get that tape ready. Start working on getting good quality 5-minute tape.
Don't worry, Mark. We'll run an advertisement for it at the beginning for like starting in like October or something.
Great. I love it.
We'll do like
Well, let's do an advertisement for past sales in the meantime. Yeah. Your podcast is awesome. I just listened to it the other day and it's got all these local ads. You know, I don't know how that works, but when people download the podcast in Denver, we can serve up a Vail Comedy Festival ad. We'd love that. We'd be very, yeah. I'll give you a special link. And we can work out some kind of arrangement. Yeah. We'll take care of the Clean Comedy Podcast if you great. Move some passes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the good thing is like Spreaker has been the one that's helping me do local stuff, like targeted demographic stuff. So they have been really good. They have a great team. I just turned Darren Carter on to them too because we had a conversation about podcasts, and I was like, bro, you're not. We got to get you. We got to get you taken care of. Like he wasn't getting taken care of. I take care of my friends. I want to make sure everybody is getting the most that they can and being good. So I'm glad. And I hopefully this podcast help drive some people to the site and help get them, you know, to send in their thing.
Yeah, we want that Clean Comedy Podcast bump, everybody. Go to I have Google Analytics on the veilcomedyfestival.com, and every once in a while I'll pull it up and there's a real time button and it shows a map of the world or America. You see these little dots all over the place where people are looking. So I'll check over the next, I don't know, whenever this is released, I'll get a little notification on my phone and I'll check the next couple of days. And I bet there'll be more dots and they'll be all over the place.
That'd be so awesome, dude. I love that I can help. I love that I can do it. I have one question for you. Okay. And this is the question that I'm going to ask you since we're friends. I consider us friends. Someone said to me, who do you look like? Who do I look like? So I'm trying to gauge from other comedians who I look like another famous person.
Yeah, sure. You look like Meatloaf in Fight Club. If he would talk your ear off about NFTs. How's that? Is that good? Is that a good looks
it's
like?
So good.
My looks good. Like you guys can't see this, but I'm pretty tall. So my recent one is I look like Big Bird. If I could do your taxes. That's my so new good. One.
I had Derek. I'll put the clip up on Instagram soon. But I had Darren Carter say that I looked like Alex Jones, and then the other one, and then the other one was a less fat Ricky Gervais.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Ricky Gervais on a diet. You can tighten that up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky Gervais on keto. You know, or
I after am on keto. That makes keto. Sense.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. How about me? You got anything for me?
I know you look you look like somebody famous, but it's. I want to say you look like one of the guys. You remind me of one of the guys from MASH. The
Alan Alda. That's the only one I know.
Is that the one? Is that the dark? Is that the dark haired, skinnier one?
He's the most famous one.
Yeah, then probably that, because that's what you remind me of a little bit.
Maybe you're thinking of the there was like a medic, I think. This is very old school. People
know,
listening
like
to this
going
are like,
old, like
what
MASH?
Is MASH?
What's MASH?
Yeah. It was a sitcom in the 1960s, I'm pretty sure. It was definitely before I was born.
Yeah. The 70s, I believe, is 70s and 80s. Yeah,
okay.
But yeah.
Right.
But I loved it. I think it is Alan Alda. I think that's the one.
Okay.
You just have like blonder hair.
Yeah, I think he's a... Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll check that out. That's not, I don't think I could use that at a comedy club.
No, no one would know.
Nobody knows who Alan Alda is.
8 year olds are like, I know who that is. You know? I remember him. I went to school with him.
The only way that would work is if he died in some spectacular fashion and like made the news cycle. No, I don't either.
I don't want people to have to die for you to be famous. Although, I guess now, technically, Alex Jones' company is dying. So I guess I could probably use that for a little while.
Yeah, sure. I think the meatloaf, as long as you wear that black t-shirt, for people who aren't seeing this and just hearing it, James is wearing a black t-shirt. So it really sells the meatloaf and Fight Club.
On keto. That's amazing. That's such a good one. And he roasted me good because it was his idea to do like after the show podcast where we just like sat down and talked about the show and what we were doing and whatever. And it was just really fun because I never do that. I just do, you know, this kind of stuff. So it was really interesting. I don't know if anyone's like it, but if maybe I'll start making that a thing where after shows, I just talk to comedians about the show or whatever and stuff. And get, you know,
that's great. Can I tell you another cool thing? This is fun.
Yeah, please.
So just the other day, they erected 18 8-foot-tall banners around the roundabouts as you exit off I-70 into Vail, Colorado. So there are these big, huge Vail Comedy Festival banners, which were like super stressful to design and pay for and pick up and drive to Vail. And then the town works. So these had to be CDOT approved. CDOT is Colorado Department of Transportation because they're basically like on the highway almost. Right. And the town of Vail, like public works people that put them up, I called them to see like, hey, did everything work out with the putting them up? And they said, yeah. The thing is that the banners that were up before you, which were for Taste of Vail and were only up for 2 weeks, they said were completely destroyed by that 40-mile-an-hour windstorm. So hopefully you bought good banners. And as it turned out, there was like, I needed them in a rush. And there's this like pound count or whatever of the vinyl that you order. And I think I was supposed to get 18 pound, but they were out of the 18 pound and they had the 20 pound. So I bought the 20 pound. So I have like really durable banners. And I was like, yes, I'm so happy that I have these durable banners because I plan to use them like for 5 years. They were that expensive. And it's really cool. And then coming soon, this you can kind of see behind me if you're watching online, we have this really cool artwork by Jeff Tice, amazing comedian and artist. He's done posters for like Bert Kreischer and all kinds of famous people, and he's really cool about doing stuff for the little people as well. And he made this amazing Vail Comedy Show artwork, which we're repurposing for the Vail Comedy Festival. And so I had two 16-foot wide banners designed. And they actually arrived today, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll go up next Monday, the 25th, in the major pedestrian areas in Vail Village and Lion's Head, and they'll be up all the way through. So those other banners, the ones that were up for 2 weeks got destroyed. Mine are up for like 6 or 7 weeks, and I'm like, oh my goodness, please let them survive.
That
was pretty exciting. And who knew that? I definitely did not know that was going to be a thing I was doing, talking to the Colorado Department of Transportation about signage, you know, 3 months ago. I had no idea that was going to be a thing, which is why, James, one last time, my theme is find a way that you can fail. Okay. Do something that pushes you to an extreme so that you'll make mistakes, that it's difficult and you're learning new things and you'll come out better for it.
I like that. Yeah. I'm going to do that. I'm going to find something to fail at this all right. week. I'm going to make that my goal. I appreciate that, Mark. Nice. So VailComedyFestival.com. Is it at Vail Comedy Festival on Instagram and stuff like that too?
It is at Vail Comedy Festival on Instagram, at Vail Comedy Fest on Twitter, cause they have shorter handles. Yeah. We're also Vail Comedy Festival on Facebook. Give us likes and follows or whatever it is on social media. I'm not real dialed into that.
Go to YouTube and do the same thing. Vail Comedy Festival. Go there and subscribe.
Follow. Yeah. Subscribe to the channel. And every morning we're putting out new shorts and hopefully we'll get to that 200. You have to get to 200 subscribers to where you can choose your own name. So.
Oh yeah. That's how I got that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm at like 454.
Okay. Awesome. Subscribe to the Clean Comedy Podcast if you're watching this on YouTube. But definitely subscribe to Vail Comedy Festival, YouTube. But the way to get passes or to tell anybody that if they like the mountains and they like to laugh, with 30 plus comedians from all over the country coming into Vail, it's going to be a hoot. It's going to be a ton of fun. VailComedyFestival.com. It's where you find all that. And if you can't make it Memorial Day, every month we run an incredible comedy show, veilcomedyshow.com. We fly in comics from around the country. It's in a fire hazard venue, and it's the sound is awesome. The lighting is terrific. The drinks are great. Everything. Andy, the bartender, is a ton of fun. The whole staff at Bridge Street Bar is incredible. And those shows are they're killer. So veilcomedyshow.com for that. And if you care about me, little old, what do we decide? Big Bird, who could do your taxes. It's markmasters.co, which is it's CO like cholera if you're not very good at spelling.
Awesome. Everybody. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go check it out, or I'll put all the show notes in the links of the show notes
look
below.
Look down there.
Yeah, you look down there. They'll all be there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks again, Mark, and have a good one. Bye.